From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now, and this is a special edition of the Here and Now podcast. Today's press conference by President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin in Helsinki is being described as shocking, astonishing, even treasonous. The two leaders talked about Syria, North Korea, and the 2016 U.S. election, and FBI Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of possible Trump campaign collusion with Russians. A few days ago, the Justice Department indicted 12 Russians, many of them military officers, for election interference. Trump was asked about a tweet this morning in which he blamed U.S. foolishness and stupidity and the Russia investigation for bad U.S.-Russia relations.
I think that the United States has been foolish. I think we've all been foolish. We should have had this dialogue a long time ago, a long time, frankly, before I got to office. And I think we're all to blame. I think that the United States now has stepped forward along with Russia, and we're getting together, and we have a chance to do some great things, whether it's nuclear proliferation in terms of stopping. We have to do it. Ultimately, that's probably the most important thing that we can be working on. But I do feel that we have both made some mistakes. I think that the probe is a disaster for our country. I think it's kept us apart. It's kept us separated. There was no collusion at all. Everybody knows it. People are being brought out to the fore. So far that I know, virtually none of it related to the campaign. And they're going to have to try really hard to find somebody that did relate to the campaign. That was a clean campaign. I beat Hillary Clinton easily, and frankly, we beat her. And I'm not even saying from the standpoint, we won that race. And it's a shame that there can even be a little bit of a cloud over it.
President Putin responded through a translator.
As to who is to be believed, as to who is not to be believed, you can trust no one if you take this. Where did you get this idea that President Trump trusts me or I trust him? He defends the interests of the United States of America, and I do defend the interests of the Russian Federation. We do have interests that are common. We are looking for points of contact. There are issues where our postures diverge, and we are looking for ways to reconcile our differences, how to make our effort more meaningful. We should not proceed from the immediate political interests that guide certain political powers in our countries. We should be guided by facts. Could you name a single fact that would definitively prove the collusion? This is utter nonsense.
President Trump was asked whether on the world stage in front of Putin he would denounce Putin and the Russian cyber threat, which as recently as last Friday, Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats likened to warning lights that are blinking red again. Instead, Trump blasted the FBI during the Obama administration for dragging its feet in the investigation of Hillary Clinton's private email server.
So let me just say that we have two thoughts. You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took the server. Why haven't they taken the server? Why was the FBI told to leave the office of the Democratic National Committee? I've been wondering that. I've been asking that for months and months, and I've been tweeting it out and calling it out on social media. Where is the server? I want to know, where is the server, and what is the server saying? With that being said, all I can do is ask the question. My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me, and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server.
President Putin offered to have Russian officials investigate the 12 Russians indicted last week for hacking Democratic Party institutions and the Clinton campaign, saying he knew how dossiers are made. An interesting word choice, given that FBI officials have been investigating a so-called dossier that Russians may have of Trump cavorting with prostitutes during the Miss Universe pageant in Moscow in 2013.
I'd like to add something to this. After all, I was an intelligence officer myself. And I do know how dossiers are made up. Just a second. That's the first
thing. Putin was asked if he had any compromising material on Trump or his family.
Yeah, I did hear these rumors that we allegedly collected compromising material on Mr. Trump when he was visiting Moscow. Well, distinguished colleague, let me tell you this. When President Trump visited Moscow back then, I didn't even know that he was in Moscow. I treat President Trump with utmost respect. But back then, when he was a private individual, a businessman, nobody informed me that he was in Moscow.
Some of the sound from today's Trump-Putin press conference in Helsinki, Finland. Joining us now is retired Admiral James Stavridis, the former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO and now Dean of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. Welcome back.
Great to be with you, Jeremy.
And what did you make of what you saw today?
Well, I was astonished, to be honest with you. The thing that really struck me as someone who fought the Cold War, was part of, if you will, winning the Cold War, to see now an American president stand next to a Russian president with our flags in the backdrop and hear the American president denigrate, disavow, and walk away from our intelligence community and effectively give the president of Russia a free pass on well-documented interference in U.S. elections was shocking. That's the only word I can use.
We noticed also that President Trump allowed President Putin to speak first, both before and after the meeting. Did that strike you?
It did. And also, let's look at body language, always so important. Go back and look at the two leaders walking into that conference. You see Vladimir Putin smiling and swaggering, as he typically does, full of buoyancy and energy. And you saw the president of the United States kind of trailing along with a somber, sober look on his face, like someone who's going to be led into the punishment arena. It was not a good day for the U.S. presidency.
Well, when it comes to the issue of election interference by Russia, what could we have expected would have happened? I mean, is it possible that President Trump would have gotten up in front of the cameras and said, you know, I don't believe what President Putin is telling me about this?
I think any other U.S. president in American history would have done so, would have only taken the meeting with Putin in order to put Putin on the stage alongside him or her, turn to Putin and say, I don't believe you. And I have my entire intelligence community has documented this to a fare-thee-well, and that's why we have indicted senior intelligence professionals in the Russian Federation. He chose not to do that. Instead, when he was asked that question, he started rambling on about email servers and where are Hillary's 33,000 emails. Mm-hmm. With all due respect to Secretary Clinton, Hillary who at this point? This is about our current president. He needs to deal with these issues in real time.
Well, it was interesting that he brought up Democrats so many times in the press conference with Putin and attacked Democrats, a domestic political situation.
Yeah, there are two elements here, Jeremy, that are distressing. The first is the division this will continue to sow in the United States, because there will be those who continue to believe President Trump, despite the fact that all the intelligence agencies of the United States are in complete concurrence, including political appointees who have been placed by Donald Trump. So there's domestic division. And the other is international division between the United States and our allies. Think about how this plays when our allies, who have just come from a whipping session by Donald Trump in Brussels, and the European Union has been called the top of my list of foes of the United Right. States, now watch the president effectively be very cozy and coy alongside the president of Russia, who gets much better treatment than our very best allies. So big divisions domestically and internationally, neither helpful.
There are also those who are going to look at what happened today, and they believe that President Trump is some kind of asset of President Putin, of the Russian spy agency. I mean, how do you respond to that? Because, again, with all the things you're talking about, there are people who are going to believe that.
There certainly will be people who believe that. Personally, I think that is far-fetched. I would say nothing is impossible in this world we're living in. What I think is more likely is that we have a president who is unprepared, unwilling to invest in real preparation for these meetings, won't take his team in with him to the meeting, and from essentially hubris, wants to demonstrate that he and he alone is at the center of everything. By doing all of that, he becomes like a high school soccer player being dropped in the middle of a World Cup match, going up against somebody like Vladimir Putin, who is highly skilled in all of this. I think as between deep conspiracy and an asset of Russia and simple incompetence on the part of our president, I'm going to go for the latter.
There seemed to be agreement from both presidents that the U.S. and Russia can work together in Syria. Sort of interesting, given that they have different objectives and certainly different views of President Assad and whether he should stay in power. What did you think of what we heard on the Syria front?
I think that would be the most likely place we could actually cooperate with Russia. If you look back to the Balkans 20 years ago, Jeremy, you'll recall that eventually we solved that terrible series of wars and humanitarian crises by cooperation between Russia, the United States, and our NATO partners. I think that model could work in Syria. And I would, for one, be hopeful that Secretary Pompeo can meet with Minister Lavrov, his foreign counterpart, and move forward on Syria. But you're absolutely right. The sticking point will be Russia's support for a primal scream war criminal in the form of Bashar al-Assad. However, that is a place we could possibly see some cooperation.
Well, speaking of cooperation, President Trump made the case today that it's better to cooperate with Russia, to have a good relationship with Russia, than to have a bad relationship with Russia. So in that sense, do you think he accomplished something by at least having this meeting?
It is better to have a good relationship with Russia, certainly. Here's how I would formulate it. We should confront where we must and cooperate where we can. So we have to confront on the interference in our election. We have to confront on the invasion of Crimea and the annexation, the invasion of Ukraine and the annexation of Crimea. We have to confront on Assad's war criminality. But we should cooperate where we can. Counter narcotics, counter terrorism, counter piracy, potentially on arms control, perhaps eventually on Syria. So we should confront where we must, cooperate where we can. But the president seems to have forgotten the first part of that, the confrontation, has to occur.
Doesn't seem like there was much movement on the issue of Crimea and Russia's annexation of Crimea.
No, and I feel here again the president missed a chance to formally condemn what is without question a violation of international law and one that the entire world has condemned. Russia has crossed a border with armed troops and carved out a chunk of another sovereign nation. That, if it allowed to stand as is a serious blow to the international order that we all need if we're going to maintain global prosperity.
Did anything surprise you today?
Unfortunately, no. I think it played out entirely to form, which is our president giving a pass to Russia in a variety of different settings on a variety of different issues. I think President Putin managed it perfectly, manipulated our president, and I am saddened by what I saw today, but not surprised.
I want to ask you one more thing, Admiral Stavridis, because you were the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, and there's been so much happening over the last week. We weren't able to speak to you last week about the NATO meeting, but when you look back at that now, in the context of the meeting today in Helsinki with President Putin, what did that do to our relationship with NATO or to the future of NATO, President Trump making the statements that he did there?
It hurts our relationship deeply. Because it plays to form from the previous G7 conference in Charlevoix, Canada, which was a scene of President Trump denigrating all of our closest economic partners and then turning around and embracing a totalitarian dictator, Kim Jong-un. Right. Now we see the exact same thing. Our greatest military partners in the world, our NATO allies, being denigrated by the president about defense spending. There is some validity to that, but the style of it, the acrimony of it, hurt us deeply in the present, and it will weaken NATO going forward. Again, a bad set of outcomes for the nation.
That's James Stavridis, the former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO, now the Dean of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. Admiral, thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Good questions as always, Jeremy. Thank you.
Well, let's bring in Will Pomerantz now. He's a Russia expert and deputy director of the Kennan Institute at the Wilson Center. Will, start with this united front of Putin and Trump against the Trump Justice Department Russia investigation. Former CIA Director John Brennan tweeted out, "Trump's press conference reached the level of high crimes and misdemeanors," meaning it's impeachable. "It was nothing short of treasonous." Your thoughts?
Well, I don't know if it rises to the level of treason. What's interesting is that both President Trump and President Putin were in agreement that essentially what has happened in the Justice Department is not based on the evidence. And they both claim at the press conference and in other communications that it is a witch hunt. So you have this very awkward circumstance, I think, that is really unprecedented, where the President of the United States and the President of Russia are in agreement that the U.S. Justice Department and the U.S. FBI is conducting a false and unfair investigation.
So
I think this is really uncharted territory.
Right. We heard from former NATO Commander James Stavridis that any other American president would only have taken this meeting with President Putin to put him on the world stage and publicly accuse him of meddling with an election. Instead, Trump was asked pointedly if he believed the assessment of the U.S. intelligence community about Russian interference in the election. Now, we heard that President Putin had volunteered to do an investigation, but here's what President Trump said.
President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. And what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer.
By 12 people, he means the 12 people who've been indicted by Mueller's investigation. Look, this is President Putin, who has an abysmal record on human rights, state-controlled media. President Trump applauding the fact that he would investigate Russians accused of hacking the U.S. election.
Well, I don't think that is a good offer, and anyone familiar with the Russian criminal justice system would not agree that it is appropriate to invite the Russian security services and the Russian law enforcement agencies to investigate their own. This has happened before. It was interesting that President Putin raised the question of Bill Browder. Bill Browder was associated with Sergei Magnitsky, who was tortured and then died in jail. Mm-hmm. And again, it involved an investigation, but the Russian state not only refused to fully investigate the charges, it turned the charges against Magnitsky and accused him of theft. So Russia does not have a good track record, to say the least, in terms of cooperation. And I thought it was very revealing that Putin demanded Browder if indeed we were to have access to the 12 Russians military security officers.
Look, it was said to be a big win for President Putin that he even got on this stage. Russia does have a nuclear arsenal. The two men talked about reducing their arsenals. But it's a dwindling economy, not even as big as California. So did he then go on to win overall because of the President Trump's united front with a Russian? I mean, as you've said, nobody can remember seeing an American president so publicly side with a Russian president against the American Justice Department.
This was clearly a win for Vladimir Putin, because you're right. While Russia still has a large and important nuclear arsenal, it does not have a first-rate world economy. It is not our competitor in that sense in the global marketplace. And yet there was President Trump giving President Putin equal billing on the global stage. So in many ways, what was interesting was the fact that President Trump wanted to give him this equal billing, and that he allowed the question period to really undermine everything that he thought he might be accomplishing at this summit.
Look, and this comes on the heels of the NATO summit. What's happened here? Has there been a global shift, or will it wrench itself back? Because this is also, in President Putin, a man who's been accused of being behind poisonings in the U.K. He was behind Russia's annexation of Crimea from Ukraine in 2014, continued support for pro-Russian rebels, the shooting down of a passenger plane by a Russian missile. And yet he was treated better today than U.S. allies were at the NATO meeting. Has everything changed?
this is an alarming development. And if it continues, then yes, we are witnessing a shift in global affairs. Putin, interestingly, said that he wanted to discuss global affairs from a non-ideological standpoint. And it seems that Trump agrees with that. But that means that the United States does not bring its values and its principles to the global stage. Mm. And I think if the United States acts simply like Russia as a global power, that it's only interested in sovereignty, then the whole world suffers, and also our allies.
Will Pomerantz of the Wilson Center, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
There's been more reaction to the press conference of Presidents Trump and Putin, who together criticized the U.S.-Russia investigation. House Speaker Paul Ryan rarely speaks out against Trump, but said in a statement, "There's no question Russia interfered in our election. The president should learn Russia is not an ally." Today, Putin was asked why President Trump should believe his denial.
Where did you get this idea that President Trump trusts me or I trust him? He defends the interests of the United States of America, and I do defend the interests of the Russian Federation.
Let's get the view from Russia with Pavel Sarikov, a political scientist with the Institute for USA and Canada Studies. Pavel, talk about the expectation there going into this meeting. We read many Russians thought Putin won just by going, and they thought he'd get them an end of isolation, an easing of sanctions, an acceptance of the seizing of Crimea. Is that your sense?
Well, I've just watched the public opinion polls, and I would say that slightly more than half of Russians are very cautiously optimistic about the summit. So they're not expecting a breakthrough, but they feel that the president would look each other in the eye and see that they are decent people and find something in common.
But do most Russians feel that Putin is right in his actions and that they deserve to have the sanctions lifted and they deserve to have the Crimea accepted?
Well, only 3 months ago, Putin won the presidential elections, and there were, I guess, 73% of Russians who voted for him. So, yes, Putin feels very big approval of his actions in among Russians. And most Russians actually approve the Crimea situation. So, yes, yeah. And Donald Trump even made a slight hint that, well, he was asked whether he's going to acknowledge Crimea, and he said, "We'll see," which a lot of Russians perceived as a hint that he's going to acknowledge Crimea as a part of Russia.
What is the view on the world view of Russia? On Friday, Special Counsel, U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller indicted 12 more Russian intelligence officers claiming hacking in the 2016 election. There was documentation that showed that it was these Russians, not a Romanian, behind Guccifer 2.0 who had the hacked material. And the documentation also showed that during the campaign, on the very day that Donald Trump said, "Russia, if you're listening, get those Hillary Clinton emails," and that is the very day that the Russians, Robert Mueller alleges, hacked those emails. We understand that you're also skeptical of Russia's hacking of the U.S. election. Really? With all of that information?
I'm skeptical because I've been trying to find the smoking gun evidences, and I see that it's always harder to prove that you didn't do something than to prove that you did something.
There's also accusations that Russia interfered in the Brexit vote, that Russia was behind the poisoning of people in Britain.
The Brexit vote, the Catalonia vote, the French presidential elections. So Russia have been accused of many, many different things. But every time when the United States accused Russia of meddling with the presidential elections, that is interference into national sovereignty. But when Robert Mueller indicted 12 Russian citizens of meddling with American elections, he gave Donald Trump additional information to talk about with Putin. But obviously, Russia is not going to extradite these 12 Russians. Mm. And even if Putin would do that, the sanctions would not be lifted and the relations would not come back to what they used to be before 2014 either.
What was Russians' sense of Vladimir Putin as he headed into the summit? We're reading that they believe that he is a grand chess master, that with his KGB background and his years of experience, you know, he will outmaneuver President Trump. Is that the sense?
I think so, yes. Can I say something about the Russian general perception of the information that Russia meddled with U.S. elections?
Please.
Because I think this is interesting, because despite the fact that Russian official position is denial that Russia ever interfered in U.S. presidential elections, very significant part of Russian society actually believes that Russia did meddle, and they are proud of it.
And they feel that's to Putin's credit, which goes to what we were talking about.
That goes to Putin's credit on one hand, and that actually what makes Donald Trump look worse, because if Donald Trump was perceived as Putin's friend, then every time Donald Trump says something bad about Russia or about Russian leadership, that, you know, makes his ratings in Russia go down. And people really think of Putin as a good negotiator. They think that Putin would somehow reach certain agreements with Donald Trump.
But just the overall idea, it seems like you're saying Russians think that Putin is smart and Trump maybe not so much, and that Putin will outmaneuver him.
I think, yes, that is certain that there are sentiments like this.
Yeah. Pavel Sherikov is a political scientist with the Institute for USA and Canada Studies. We reached him in Moscow. Pavel, thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So Russian people believed the hacking did happen, and they are proud of it. Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now.